Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Today we're going to get finish up chapter 41. Let's start with a word of prayer. Well, thank you, Lord, so much for this time to look into your word and that we can get a better understanding of what it's going to be like living in the millennium kingdom and what your role and that the role of the temple. You can help us to understand your word and how we can apply it to our lives. And Lord, I'm looking forward to that day so much that we get to spend our time with you in person, and that you'll give us all the strength and comfort we need until that day. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So we'll finish up chapter 41 this week, today. And we'll get finish up to the verses 13 through 26. Realize the Millennium Temple covers pretty much Ezekiel 40, 41, 42, and 43, and 44, 43. And then we start getting into more about the things that will be going on during that time frame in the temple. So this is a quick review. Here is the temple complex that we've been talking about. And most of chapter 40 was talking about the outer ring, and it started talking about the inner court, mainly the area around the gates. These are the gates, and these are the outer gates. A little bit about the outer gates. The east gate is the main gate. They get into the complex. The north gate is where sacrifices are made, on the north side here, according to scripture. And just a couple of quick little things. And what we talked about yesterday was we started talking about the actual temple itself, which is right here in the middle. And we left off at this building back here. Kind of a bit of a mystery because it was never mentioned in any of the temples. And we really don't know what it's for, except maybe it could be something like maybe a residence for the temple workers. It's quite a large building. And we'll talk a little bit more about that today and then get into some of these other areas around it. Because the original temple didn't have everything you see here. And that's why we know this is different than in Jesus' time or the temples that were erected prior to this time frame. Well, I'm thinking of that. Maybe it'd be... I got a picture of one here. I think I do. Of the temple in Jesus' time, an artist's rendition of it. Well, it's actually an actual temple that was just so you can see a comparison. Let me get it real quick. How's everyone's day going so far? Okay, hopefully I got a picture in here. That one either. One more chance to find it in this. Okay, I think I got it now. Okay, there's the temple in Jesus' time. It's an artist rendition that's actually in Jerusalem right now. And so you can see it's quite a bit different. Just as some examples, you notice the temple itself is right here. And this would be the outer court is in this general area here. And this big area out here is the court of the Gentiles. And this area here where you a lot of the readings we see when it comes to both Jesus and Peter did sermons from here. This is called Solomon's Porch, going around about here. But you can see there's quite a bit of difference between this temple and the one we're talking about. It doesn't have any of these buildings that we're going to be talking about here shortly. So I just thought I'd show you real quick those differences. Now let's get back to where we were. So this is where we're going to pick back up today. And let's get some verses going. So now we're in verses 13. So do we want to put it up there or down at the bottom? We can put it down at the bottom for a little bit here. So he measured the house 100 cubits long in a separate place, and the buildings with the walls thereof 100 cubits long. So it's basically talking about, let me get rid of these things for a minute. And he's talking about that it's 100 cubits long for the temple itself. And then another 100 cubits, if you, including this separate area, to get to the back wall. That's what that verse is basically saying. And again, 100 cubits is 150 feet. So let's get some verses back in here. Verse 14. And and the breadth of the face of the house and of the separate place toward the east, 100 cubits. Oh, that's that last picture. So it's talking back here again. So the width also is 100 cubits from basically the edge of the wall all the way to the other edge of the wall. Here it is in front, showing the other edge. So that it covers the area. It covers the width of the house and the separated areas. And the length covers the separated areas, building and walls. And he measured the length of the building over against the separate place, which was behind it, and the galleries thereof on the one side, and on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches. Get to my verse here, porches of the court. Verse 16. Now we're going to start talking about the windows. The doorposts, and then let's do some switching here to the upper one. The verse is a little bit longer. The doorposts and the narrow windows and the galleries round about on their three stories over against the door, circled with wood round about, and from the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered. Again, describing this area here. Let me move the verse for a second. So the windows were covered. And I was talking about the fact that they're a little bit off the ground and they're made out of wood. And they thought of it, It was a covering that looked like latest work. It could be something different. I didn't really describe that for sure. And on this verse, I found a complement reference over talking about wood over in 1 Kings 6:15. And he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them on the inside with wood and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir. Now, of course, in 1 Kings, they're talking about the first temple. In this case, we're talking about the Millennium Temple. So there are some slight differences. It even goes on to say in this same area in Kings, and he built 20 cubits on the side of the house, both the floor and the walls with boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place. So again, talking about all these different windows going all the way around the entire building, except for the front. So it looks like the original Solomon's Temple also had this part. Here we get a little bit of a clue that back in 15, they built the walls of the house within the boards of the cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling. They covered them on the inside of the wood and covered the floor of those houses with planks of four. I thought I saw it in here what it was for. Oh, there it is, the oracle. Built them four within, even for the oracle. So the oracle is a usually some kind of a speaker. So that's why I'm thinking that this is going to be where the singers are. I saw a reference for that somewhere. And maybe I'll see it again, or it'll come up again. I was reading it somewhere, maybe when I was reading a further chapter. But there will be singers around the temple day and night, I believe. When we get to that, we'll kind of remember back to this and see if maybe that correlates. Okay, back to Ezekiel 41:17. Now we're going to get inside. Here I found some interesting little tidbits that had me wondering about these things that decorated on the walls. And I think that the Holy Spirit helped me out a little bit on that. So let's talk about these a little bit. To that above the door, even unto the inner house and without, and by all the wall round about, within and without, by measure, it was made with cherubims and palm trees. So the palm tree was between a cherub, and every cherub had two faces. Now we see, talking about two faces, over in 1 Kings 6:29, and he carved the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without. Well, we don't see any open flowers. Going back to Kings here again, this is talking about Solomon's temple. Also in 2 Chronicles 3:7, he overlaid also the house, the beams, the posts, and the walls thereof, and the doors thereof with gold, engraved cherubims on the walls. So the cherubims were there even in the Solomon's temple. And the greater house he circled with fir trees, which he overlaid with fine gold and set therein palm trees and chains. I think the chains they're talking about here is this bottom part. You see along the part, it looks almost like a chain. Okay, back to also over in Ezekiel 40:16. There were now windows to the little chambers and to their posts within the gate round about, and likewise to the arches. And windows were round about inward, and upon each post were palm trees. So again, these palm trees are just about everywhere. And I found an interesting thing about the palm trees. Where did I write that down? Maybe it's coming up in another verse. Oh, there it is, 2 Chronicles 3:5. I just read that one. In the greater house he circled with fir tree, which he overlaid with fine gold, and sat there on palm trees and chains. Okay, I already read that. Ezekiel 40:16. I found something else about palm trees. I know it's here somewhere. The number is 789. Shoot. I know I saw that. Oh, there I wrote it. Palm trees. I found it now. It's over in Judges. Let me jump to that verse since I've been talking about it. I actually did it a little bit later. But it's in Judges 4:5. I'm just going to show you this real quick. I may show you again. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So that might be symbolic here of why we see palm trees. Because remember, the Jesus is going to be reigning from this temple. And that he'll be in the Holy of Holies here. And then when he holds court, maybe, the palm trees are representative, just very similar to the time of the judges, when people would come up to the judges and get for judgment. So that might be why the palm trees are here. Found that fascinating. Okay, back to, let's see, where are we? Oh, continuing in verse 19. Some other things of interest. Verse 18, I mean. And we talk about Jesus dwells between the palm trees. We see that in Numbers 7, 8, and 9. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him in this case is being his God. I realize this is before Jesus Christ was even born, but I truly believe that Jesus was, this is a pre-incarnated Jesus. Because now I've really come to the understanding that God is spirit. So he's not physically located. I don't want to say it quite that way, but he's everywhere at once. I should say it that way. But Jesus Christ is a man. And it prior to him being born a babe and coming to the earth, that whenever it's a human being was needed to speak to somebody, like Moses on Mount Ararat, and for that time when Abraham, when two angels along with Jesus came to visit him and Sarah to talk before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, all these different times and. When God used to dwell with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the evening. I think those were all Jesus representing the solid portion of God. And that's why we got to think of God as in three parts. We have God the Father, who oversees the entire world. He's everywhere at once. And that's why he's all-knowing and he sees all. Then we have God the Son, who's actually can physically interact with us, and then the Holy Spirit, which indwells us. So that's how I see it anyway. So. Also in 2 Samuel 6:2, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of the God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. So again, and that's represented by, I remember we were talking about the Ark of the Covenant, that the cherubims on the Ark kind of like form a seat almost, with the wings kind of touching each other, and they're looking at each other. And so we can kind of get the same kind of representation here. I found a great little, speaking of... I want to read a psalm, Psalm 18, and just about the whole thing, because this is a psalm that David wrote talking about being delivered from his enemies and the fact that the Lord was his strength. And it touches on this idea of Jesus dwelling between the cherubims. And I wanted to point out that Satan was originally a cherubim. Trying to explain a little bit what cherubims are. The biggest reference we have to them is that they are like super angels. And that originally Jesus, that Satan, when he was Lucifer, before he fell, was the chief of all, chief cherubim. So I just want to read this psalm because it kind of explains really well what the role of the cherubim was when it comes to interacting with us. I know at the time I put it in here, it really hit me. So I'm going to reread it again. And I can't tell you exactly why I put it in here yet. So let's just read through it. Maybe it'll come to me. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrow of death compressed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compressed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. The earth shook and trembled, the foundation also of the hills moved, were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was upon his feet. And he rode upon a cherub. Oh, this is why I put it in here. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Remember that verse, because we're going to get into the cherub here in just a second. Now I remember why I put it in here. And he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him was dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discovered them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at their rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. So I started reading that, and I decided to read the whole thing, but it was mainly based on that one verse about a cherub and what the cherub does, and they have wings, and that Jesus flew like a cherub when it came to rescue David from his enemies. And the reason I brought this up is we're going to get into these cherubs and what they are and what they represent. I think I actually got it in the wrong place, but that's okay. It's a good place. It's good. It's supposed to be under verse 19. And let's read verse 19 so this will make a little bit more sense. I read it a little early. So that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of the young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made throughout all the house round about. And let me get a bit of picture. This is it here. You can see the lion on this side and the man on this side. And you can see the wings of the cherub. So back and finish. It's over in Ezekiel 28:14. And this is talking about Satan, that he was a cherub. And thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So I just wanted to represent what a cherub was, and that they are like a super angel. Now, what I think the reason they're pictured here is rather interesting. If you're with me in our Revelation study, we talk quite a bit about this, what they call the living creature. They actually call it a beast in Revelation, but a better translation is actually a living creature. The beast in that translates into, in the Greek, a zoological term, meaning an animal that had four faces. So you remember the four faces were a lion, a man, an ox, and an eagle. Well, remember that is representing Jesus Christ, and that the four faces of Jesus Christ, which represent the four Gospels. Like, I started thinking more about it, and I was out walking today. I was praying, I was meditating with the Lord, and kind of trying to get an idea of why only two faces, Lord? And the lion makes sense, because it's the lion of the tribe of Judah, showing his Jewish roots, and the fact that he's going to rule the Jewish nation, in this case, in the temple. And then the man, of course, has understanding, because he's all man and all God. And the two that are missing, and inside of bottom, was the eagle and the ox. Well, it made a lot of sense that the ox was missing, because the ox is a servant. And he was a servant when he came his first time, but this time when he comes, he's not going to be a servant anymore. He's going to be ruling and reigning with a rod of iron. So I can see why that one's not here. But I'm going, I said to the Lord today, he says, why isn't the eagle representative here? You're your deity, you know, you're a God too. And that's when I realized that an eagle flies, and the wings of this cherub could represent the eagle portion, which is the deity of Christ. And so that this symbolizes Jesus Christ himself. And that, so it's a possibility. You know, it's got my speculation. I could be wrong. So, but you can take that as you like. And we will continue on. And so some other verses just to represent the face of a man over in Ezekiel 1:10. And this is going back to Ezekiel's first vision, if you remember. As for the likeness of their faces, the forehead, the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and the forehead, the face of an ox on the left side, and the forehead also had the face of an eagle. So there's the four faces again in Ezekiel. So why, why were two of them eliminated in here? Also in Ezekiel 10:14, and everyone had four faces. These are the different visions that Ezekiel saw during the earlier part of Ezekiel. And again, it mentions, and this time it says the face of a cherub. And the second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. So here they don't mention the ox, and they mention a cherub. And I also mentioned that talking about judgment, that the palm trees, that's talking about the palm trees was judgment. I already read that. That was Judges 4:5, and what the palm tree represents. So on to verse 20. From the ground unto above the door were cherubs and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple. The post of the temple was square, and the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one as the appearance of the other. Let me get, now we're going to talk about this incense burner. This is getting into verses 21 and 22. The posts of the temple were square. So you can see here the square. And the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one as the appearance of the other side. So it looks the same all the way around, basically. Again, back to 1 Kings, talking about the original temple. So also made he for the door of the temple posts of olive tree, a fourth part of the wall. Okay, back to Ezekiel 41:22. Now we'll talk about the altar itself. And the altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, this is the table that is before the Lord. And in this table, as we see in Exodus 31, thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it. Now, the original intent of this was to it represented the prayers of the saints. And I notice it doesn't mention that it's an incense burner here in Ezekiel 41:22, but it's the same dimensions as the original incense burner, which is the prayers of the saints and the smoke coming up and going up, you know, circling up, was supposed to represent the prayers that God could see the sweet and that this was burning continuously 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this particular area was the holy place, so the priests were allowed in here anytime they needed to come in and service the area. But I notice here in Ezekiel 40, it doesn't mention that you're burning incense. And also in 1 Kings 6:20, and the oracle in the forepot was 20 cubits in length and 20 cubits in height thereof, and overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar, which was of cedar. Actually, that's talking about, I picked the wrong verse. That's talking about the 20 cubits. That's thing outside the doorway, the sacrifice. Let me just see. Now they call this an altar. As we get into chapter 42, it's going to talk about some things having to do with this altar and where the sacrifice is going to be laid to present to the Lord. So it's not the same thing as I was thinking before. Now over in Exodus 25, 23 through 20 to 30, it talks about this particular altar. And we can see the difference here. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make there unto a crown of gold round about. This is talking about the let's talk about the table for the showbread. Notice that's also missing here. Thou shalt make unto it a border of handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Thou shalt make it 4 rings of gold, and put rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be placed of the stars to bear the table. Thou shalt make the stars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be bore with them. I just realized I wasn't advancing the verses. I'm starting to realize now that this doesn't really apply to this altar. So let's jump down to verse 23. I'm just going to skip over the rest of these verses that I realize now that this isn't the same altar. So we'll go back to the this room here, and let me get this out of the way for a second. You see behind here is a doorway. And this doorway even is much different than what we had in the original temple. We see that over in 1 Kings again, 6:31. And for the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive tree, and the lintel and side posts were a fifth part of the wall. And 2 doors also were of olive tree, and he carved upon them carvings of cherubims and palm trees, and the open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees. Notice these doors are plain. So also made he for the door of the temple posts of the olive tree, a fourth part of the wall. And we don't see any olive trees. I'm just trying to show a lot of controversy over there. People want to try to say this temple is not, they're describing Solomon's temple. That's why I'm doing a lot of this, to show the comparison differences. The two doors were a fir tree. The two leaves of one door were folding, and the two leaves of the other door were folding. Now this part is true. They carved upon cherubims and palm trees and open flowers and covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. And notice we didn't see anything in verse 23. Let me go back and show that real quick. The temple and the sanctuary had two doors. And we get into verse 24 here. And the doors had two leaves apiece. Two turning leaves, two leaves for one door, and two leaves for the other door. It's basically an accordion door. And this is where the differences change in verse 25. And they were made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees. And you notice the other ones had something different, flowers and olive trees. Like also were made upon the walls. And there were thick planks upon the face of the porch without. And there were narrow windows and palm trees on one side, and on the other side, on the side of the porch. That's it's showing the two doors here. See the two doors, like leaves. And that's all we had for this. So that ends chapter 41. And so we'll end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we got to look in your word, Lord. And we're seeing that I think we pretty much proved to ourselves, Lord, that this temple is definitely not one that's ever been built yet. So we look forward to that day, Lord, when we are employed to build this temple. Not sure exactly how we're going to be involved, but we look forward to that day, Lord. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay. Well, that ends chapter 41. And I hope that was, having the pictures, I hope helped. And so we'll talk again. Next week we'll start getting into chapter 42 and see where we go from there. And so you guys have a great weekend. And we will all see you on Sunday. And I hope that everyone has anyone who does not know the Lord and wants to find out how they too can join us in heaven, please stay tuned after this video, and there'll be a short video that tells you how you can, and the verses involved, and how you too can find your way to heaven and to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and that you too can be part of the church. When we say part of the church, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about a people group. We're all part of the church, and the church representing everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. So take a look at that video if you know nothing about it. And if you have any questions, please leave a comment or two, and we will get back to you. And if we try to give you an answer for why we believe what we believe. We give you all the praise and thanks. Have a great day. And dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you, Lord. And that if anyone be listening to this, Lord, that is not a follower, does not know you in a personal way, please reach out to them and touch them and help them to look to you for your power and your wisdom. And that you too will, that they too will be a member of your body of Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. We will talk to you again Monday.